Blog Talk Radio.
Mighty things that he has done. We would like to welcome you to the Crossroads broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida, where God get all of the glory, where he will always get all of the praise. For the word of God say, if I be lifted up, he said that he will draw all men unto him. I am Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we are here today to give you another opportunity to be blessed of the Lord. We want you to know today that we have excited in topic that we know that you're going to enjoy. But first of all, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome the broadcast with Dr. June Normill, that she and I will be broadcasting on the day. And we thank God for the opportunity to once again to come before the people of God. And for all of those that are listening, because we know that it is truly ordained of the Most High God. The topic today we're going to be discussing is spiritual issues. And I'm quite sure that there are many things that you may have been going through, things that you need help. And here is your answer today. Here's your answer from the Lord that can help you to understand some of the things that you may have been going through in your spiritual walk as a Christian. But before then, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Lord, we thank you for the great, for the mighty things that you have done, great and mighty things that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Father, we thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, for the opportunity, God, to be used of you, God, to speak unto your people, God, giving us this opportunity, God, as professional Christian counselor, to be able to counsel the people from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. And God, today, God, we thank you, Lord God, because we truly believe that the topic today will be a blessing, God, to those, God, that need, Father God, answers, and that need, Father God, answers to the questions and to the concern, God, that they have in their lives. So, Father, for this, God, we will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, you are listening to the Crossroad broadcast, and we are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Yes, I am Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and I want you to know that God has you on his mind. Yes, God has you in his inner thoughts. Yes, God, he want you to be at peace and to know that he is with you. For the word of God says he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And that is for somebody that's out there in our audience today, to let you know that God will never leave you. God, he will never forsake you. So today we're going to be talking about spiritual issues. And I'm just going to walk into this today, and then we're going to have Dr. June Normill to come in, and she is going to talk to you today about the causes of spiritual issues. And then I'm going to come back, and we're going to begin talking, giving you a little bit more as to what God will have you to know concerning spiritual issues, because there are issues in everybody's life. Everybody needs to be able to get an answer from God. And I'm telling you, the Bible says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he said that he will direct our path. So Dr. Normill is going to be talking about the causes. I'm going to be talking about the effect. But then I'm going to lead you into spiritual issues today. And I'm going to tell you about this young lady. Her name is Marilyn, and we're going to use that name.
and she is 23 years old. And she is the youngest daughter of a deeply, I say deeply, religious parents who met in Bible school, who have always hoped that all of their children would enter into the ministry and become missionaries. And that's not something that is not a something that all parents would want the best for their children. If they've gone to Bible school and they did certain things in their life, then they would want their children to follow after them. Yes, we do know that there are certain things that all of us, that God has given us the abilities in order to do, whether or not it's to teach, to preach, or to fly an airplane, or do certain other things in our lives, or whatever it may be. But this was their wish. That was their desire, that their children were following in their footsteps. So far it had been a very disappointing to them because neither of their children was following in their path. One of their grown children is a shoe salesman with little ambition and has no interest in church. Another one is married. He's married to a factory worker who has a steady job and provides well for his family. But this one also has a casual interest in spiritual things. I want you to follow us today as we go into the study on spiritual issues. And then the third child. The third child is divorced and struggling to get through college. But she has moved in also with a middle-aged atheist lawyer who clearly is more interested in sex than in spirituality. So here you see that things are not looking up the way that their parents had thought that they would look up. It's not the way that they thought that this would be a family that will pray together or pray a bit of agreement with the word and that there'll be a family that can be able to communicate. But then meanwhile, the parents, they begin to struggle because they wonder why. Why is none of their children will go to church or show any interest in spiritual things? Now, I know that there are people out there today, there are people in our audience today that have been brought up in church. You may have gone even to a Bible college. You may have gone and further your education at different aspects of spiritual things. And it was your hope and the desire that your children that you raise and that you birth, that they love Jesus, that they have, that they would want to do some of those things that the parents are also are doing, was attempting to do. So here they are very, very not ease. They're kind of struggling and wondering why their children is not going to church. They have no spiritual interest in spiritual things. And they pray regularly. The parents did. They pray regularly for their children. And they boldly express their faith in God's sovereignty. So here they're saying that, you know, they pray. They boldly express their faith and their commitment to God because they knew that God was sovereign. But they still wonder if God had let them down. And when we begin to think about that, and God letting them down, then we can see a deterioration. We can see that their faith is not where it once was. Because here they're saying that we've tried to bring up our children to go in a way, but yet they're astray. They're not going in the way that they should go. And they wonder why God has not kept them in the faith. But then you may have a child out there. You may have a son or daughter. You may have or children like they did. But yet, the only thing that you are responsible for is bringing that child up in the way that they should go. And not only that, it does not stop you from praying and interceding for those children. Yes, they may be young adults. Yes, they may not be in the home, but you can still pray for those children and believe God for their deliverance, that they will be saved. And don't, the many times parents they are dismayed because of, they think that, you know, God, just like these two parents, God, why did you not keep my children? God, why are they doing what they're doing? You know, God gave us a free mind that we can be obedient to God. We have a choice. The Bible says to choose ye this day whom you're going to serve, as you find in Joshua 24:15. So we all have a will, and that we can do what we desire to do. And it is our desire that we live right, desire that our children live right. But just because they're doing some strange and some odd things, it doesn't mean that you give up on them. You can still speak the truth to them. Yes, when you begin to look at the family as a whole, you've seen a lot of things that they had buried from their bringing up, from when they were children. And they hear, it tells us how they, you know, they was really dismayed. They was not comfortable. They were struggling because their children was not living the life that they should have lived. So the parents, not only they struggling, but they were distressed because the children wasn't living up to their expectations. And even the parents, they were distressed because Marilyn's, at times, she would criticize the church as they being a hypocrite. You know, you've heard kids before, they may come to a parent and say, Mom, you know, Dad, they're nothing but hypocrites. They're hypocrites in the church. And you may have said yourself that they're hypocrites in the church. Well, the Bible said for us that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So it's up to you to live according to God's word. And it's up to you to keep speaking God's word. And it's up to you not to join in with your children when they begin to criticize the house of God, criticize the preachers and the teachers of God's word. So many times you may be in the ministry and you see things that are not the way that they should be. And then you go home and you talk to your kids about children, whether they're young or whether they are young adults, or they may be middle age. But when you begin to join in and you say things that against the church and against the man or the woman of God, then you're going to find that sometimes these things will pull them out of the ark of safety, because they are thinking about what you said. They are rehearsing it in their mind, and when they want to do something, they have something of a person that comes into their life, and they're like this atheist that one of the daughters, he was a lawyer, but yet she was living with an atheist all of her life. She had been taught about the word of God, but now she is living with somebody that don't even that acknowledge God and that he is God. And not only is she living with him, she is having a sexual attraction, a sexual experience with them. So sometimes as we began to, as we did research on here, we began to read and look at things, it let us know that even the parents, when they began to assess things, when the daughter began to talk about it was hypocrites in the church, then they began to think themselves, well, maybe they might be right. Maybe they might be right. Well, let me address this. As we said before, you need to know the God that you serve. You have to know the God that saved you, the God that delivered you, the God that made you free from the sin that you were in, and the one that calls you to be saved, that calls you to come into the knowledge of him. So, therefore, you can't begin to think about like the sinner thing. Maybe they may be your daughter, maybe your son, maybe your best friend. You can agree with the enemy. You cannot agree with what they are saying, because what they are saying is not valid. It is not right. It's there a weakness in their flesh, a weakness in their spirituality. So we see here, as the parents began to agree and wonder what their daughter was saying, was, you know, they may just be right. There are hypocrites. And especially when they had a son, because they began to think about some things happened before. That's how some things happen. You know, that's how the enemy do. He'll try to regress. He'll try to take you back to some things that happened in your lifetime, or something happened, an incident that happened at the church, in order to try to make their case. So they went back and they thought about, their son, how their son had went through a painful divorce, and how the people at the church, how they responded to him, how they tried to condemn him, and they didn't show him compassion. They were condemning more than they were showing compassion. So that came back up in their thoughts, in their mind, that they were thinking, you know, there may be something to what our children are saying. There may be something that what my best friend is saying. Or it may be something to one of the people in the church was saying. But listen, the church, the leadership offered, they began to think that during that time that my son was going through all of the things, the pain of the divorce, even the leadership offered little help. It wasn't in the house. They began to bring things up. The devil will bring it up to you. They seem to be not interested in him. They wasn't interested in, they seem to be interested only in people who were spiritualized, that seemed to be thriving in the Word of God, that they were living the Word of God, that they were interested in people that was involved in the activities of the church, and they were interested in people that was financially supporting the church program. These are the people that they were interested in, but they weren't even interested in our son. Do you see how the enemy have gotten in and how to destroy little by little, how he's trying to destroy people? And you're in a church, and the enemy is trying to say and do things, because it's not only the believers that go to church, but there are people that are seated that are there in order. It's just like the tares. They are there, and they're among the weak, and they're trying to tear down certain parts of the church. So you have to be very careful. And apparently their parent was being taken in by this whole situation. Recently, Marilyn's parents, you know, through everything they've been going through, you know, with their children, with them, with their low expectations, they had high expectations, but now it's as if their faith is not where it was before. because of the fact that the parents have stopped their attendance. They're still going as often as they used to go. And what could have happened to their parents that they would stop going to church? Well, we just talked about it, what happened to them. Because they were listening more to the enemy, unto things that was infiltrating into their heart and their mind. And because of that, it just overcame them, and they began to be weak, and they began to stop going, they didn't go as often as they had been attending church. So if they have gone on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, they may have stopped and just went on Wednesday, or just go on Sunday. And it's just so many things that filtered in to the enemy as trying to take a person's salvation and take their mind. But we must have the mind of Christ. And I hope you're listening to me as I'm speaking to you today, because there are spiritual issues that we need to address. And the only way that you can be whole, the only way that you can be strong is to let God to lead you and direct you. Because the word of God says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he said that he will direct your path. And there's something, things that people, they need to know so that they don't fall into the same rut, into the same type of ill thinking that these parents fell into. At the time of the children, about them falling away from God, of them not going to church, you have to let your light shine. You can't go and you can't move into the same direction that they were moving in. Somebody had to be strong. Somebody should be strong. Like several of their children, the parents are confused spiritually, and for the first time in either of their lives, they have begun to harbor doubt about their own beliefs. Now, you know, that has really sank to the lowest when you will allow the enemy to come in and to make you lose the foundation that you were brought up in, that when God has built you up and strengthened you, and now you have began to do things that you're saying, well, you know, those people at church don't like me. You know, I'm not getting along with them. When I needed them for my children, they weren't there. When I needed a financial blessing, they weren't there. Those are all the tricks of the enemy. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So, therefore, they're thinking about whether they should go to a counselor. And then they thought about it, well, we don't need to pay a professional counselor since the problems aren't really bad. They thought it went bad, but it was really bad. That's how the enemy want you to feel, that this, you know, you can deal with this. You don't need to go see anybody. You don't need to go talk to your pastor. You don't need to talk to a Christian counselor. And all the time, the situation that you're going through is getting worse and worse. But the enemy don't want you to feel that. You're stopping church. You don't read your Bible like you're supposed to do to read. You are not praying the way that you should pray. So that is a big problem. And they thought that if they went to a non-Christian professional, they wouldn't understand their struggle. So here is the enemy all around them. And then they didn't want to go to the pastor because would you believe that they thought that the pastor not going to understand our situation? The pastor not going to understand what we're going through? The pastor is the spiritual leader of the church. Your pastor, your bishop, your overseer, you know, these are shepherds of the fold. They are God has put them in place in order for you if you're going through some struggle or you're going through some things in your life, you need to be able to trust your people that's over you. You're a bishop and you're an overseer, you're apostle. You know, you should be able to trust them. If you can't trust them, why are you there? You ought to be able to trust them. So I'm saying to you, if you're in a church, if you're going through a situation, you're going through a problem, you need to go to those in leadership. You need to go to your apostle and that prophet and that bishop or whoever, a pastor or whoever it may be, so that you can get it resolved and you can talk to someone that's going to help you, and they will help you with what you're going through. So when we see them, they are less likely to go and to get some help. And many times people just wait and wait and wait until they're completely out of the church. They're completely out of the will of God. You don't want to wait until you're out, completely out of the will of God. But you want to do those things that's going to bring blessings. You want to do those things that's going to help you to be sustained. You want to do those things that are going to help you help not only yourself, but if you have children, if you have loved ones, you want to be able to help them as well. So we pray, God, that through this introduction, that you'll be able to listen to some of the things that we have said here. Now, we're going to go into the next area, the next topic on the causes of spiritual problems. And then later, we're going to come back. And if we have time, we'll come back and we're going to talk about the effects of spiritual problems. And if we don't get it all on this week, we will come back on Monday, and we will continue the effects of spiritual problems. But right now, we would like to bless the Lord with Dr. June Normill as she comes and as she talks to us about the causes of spiritual problems. Dr. June Normill.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. God bless you. Give an honor to God for allowing me to come before you again this day. I truly thank him. And also to you, Radio Land, I give you greetings today. My topic is the causes of spiritual problems. And as we know, that everyone will experience problems. No one is exempt. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or if you're an unbeliever. Most people believe that when you become a Christian, the start of your newborn Christian life is like a bed of roses. But all those who are Christian know that that is a myth and is not true. But the truth is, we are spiritual beings with natural bodies who will experience spiritual problems. You know, quite often we go looking in the wrong places, and some problems never go away because the root cause is within us. In America, you know, religion is still popular. So the statistics are different in other countries. But 40% of Americans attend religious services at least once a week. 60% of the members of churches or synagogues. And 90% claim to believe in God. You know, outwardly, we are a religious people. But inwardly, our religious belief makes no difference in how we live. Sometimes you can't even distinguish the difference between a Christian and a non-believer. But in the midst of this whole environment and this corrupt world that we're living in, a number of deeply religious people, you know, they sincerely want to serve God and to grow as Christians, but they struggle with spiritual depression and despair. You know, these people, they know the demands of Christian living and problems, even in a culture that is not superficially religious. You know, we long to live the Christian spiritual life, even though many are sure what it means, what to do and how to do that and how to get there. But God has given us a rhema word. He's given us some nuggets today about to identify some causes of spiritual problems and the issues that have started within ourselves. That we sometimes can see the problem, we can see also the solution to the problem. We see the effects of it, but we don't see the root cause of it. Then we are sometimes ministering to different things, but sometimes it'll die down, then sometimes it'll come back up. And that's also like a tree you could plant. And that tree could have bad limbs, you could cut it off, but somehow, if time goes by, that same tree will produce other bad limbs. But if you ever get that tree and pull it up from the root, you will have no more problems with that tree. And the same thing it is with life and our situation. If we ever could get to the root cause, the root problem, we will find out that our life would be even much better. So God has given us some spiritual answers to our spiritual issues. And you have time right now. Maybe you want to go get a piece of paper and a pen to write down some of the scriptures and some of the information that God has given us today, because it is really rich. And now this teaching that God has given us is going to examine us, to examine ourselves. They're going to call us to examine ourselves. And one of the spiritual issues that happen within us, the first one is it starts with where we are. That's the first one. Spiritual issues start is where we are. You know, for some people, problems come because of where good they are spiritually. It comes from where they are spiritually. You know, these individuals, they may attend church services, and you may see them doing good deeds, but they are outside of God's kingdom. And you're probably saying, how can a person do good deeds and they're a Christian, but how can they also at the same time be outside of God's kingdom? I'm glad you asked. What I mean is they have never accepted God's free will and God's gift of salvation. And they're trying to earn, you know, divine favor in God in vain by just doing works. And on the other hand, you know, you have people that who have committed their lives to Christ, but they have not grown spiritually. And you see them probably displaying attributes of someone that is unsaved. And that is because that person that is have given life to Christ, they have little or no interest in spiritual issue. They have no concern about that. It could be like just they could be saved for a long time, and but they still display the attributes of being an infant or a babe in Christ, because they're not in their mind mentally and in their heart developing maturity in the things of Christ. They could be faithful in going to church, faithful attending all kind of activities and socializing with other Christians, but they have no personal relationship with God, as though that they are reading their word, they praying and fasting. And that would cause people to be in that state. And that way you see no difference in a person that is spiritual and an unbeliever that you call a person for to be a Christian. But all of that, it sums up to be because that spiritual problem is related to how close and where an individual is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It all depends on where we are with our relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's a personal walk as us as individuals. And sometimes, like I just explained, that will cause us to have an issue with that. We're not in that place with God where we should be. And number two, within ourselves, the issue within us could be what we do. And I'm going to focus on what we do as far as sin. And the biblical meaning of sin is any action or attitude that violates or fail to conform to the will of God. You know, we can sin by what we think, what we do, or what we fail to do. You know, sin is a powerful, pervasive, and penetrating force that can master and enslave us, especially when we fail to repent and admit and confess our faults. The Bible says if we confess our sin to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because a lot of times we shouldn't get into the place that we sin. Sometimes we be feeling so condemned, and that's know that condemnation comes from the devil, that we just walk around without repentance. And we never do have that forgiveness within us, and that could be another issue that caused us to be enslaved to that sin. You know, because sin is a major cause of spiritual problems, stagnation, and it caused the loss of vitality, which means it could cause you to stop your growth and your relationship with God. So sin is one of them. And another one that what we do is a spirit they call legalism, and that is so rampant today. And legalism is almost like an I syndrome. He thinks that we could do anything and to make God pleased, or we're displaying a good Christian life by rules, following rules and regulations. They say what we do in the form of legalism is another cause of spiritual problem. It's having a form and a spirit of legalism. When Jesus walked the earth, the Pharisees were religious people who, you know, who believed in spiritual maturity came as a result of observing the rules. And I tell you, the Pharisees, they were on key with the book, with the written law. They were sick by the law, and they felt and they thought as though they have arrived. They had made by just following rules, but their heart had not had a transformation. You know, and this is viewed as prevalent today by many denominations and religious circles today. You know, people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Have you heard someone say, like, oh, I'm a good Christian? They might say, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't curse, I don't watch rated X movies, I don't wear clothes dressed like that. I dress conservative, the God of peace, with the way I dress. I don't shop on Sunday, and so on and so on. But I tell you what I do, I do read my Bible every day. I witness to someone every week. I go to church every time the doors open, and I'm a part of it. All the auxiliary, and my pastor can count on me every time. I'm always there. I pay my tithe and all of my earnings, all the earnings I get, and I'm always giving. I'm always feeding the poor. That's a form of legalism. We see that so often today. People think that they are displaying Christian love and attributes of a true Christian by the things that they do, but that is false. Doctrine, that's not what it is. That's not true Christianity. That's not true love. That's the spirit of legalism. It reminds me of the scripture, the little parable in Luke 18:9-14. It says, and Jesus was talking, you know, to the people about a parable about what legalism was in a nutshell. And they said, two men went up to the temple to pray, and one of the Pharisees and the other was a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men are, extortionists, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Because another man was in there praying in the temple with him. He said, I fast twice a week, I give tithes and all that I possess. And that publican, that man that was in the temple with him, they say, and the publican standing afar off, will not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Verse 14 say, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. And as we know, just by that parable, that's a spirit of legalism. It's for the devil. It's a spirit that God is not pleased with, and after you get into legalism, it leads from one thing to another, just like the spirit of pride. And Proverbs 6:16 says, six things that the Lord hated, and pride, a proud look, that's one of the first things that's on that list. We must know that spiritual growth does not come from following rules. True spirituality comes when we walk humbly before God with an attitude of thanksgiving and praise, a deep determination to be obedient, and awareness of our tendencies to sin, and acknowledgement of our need for God's continual grace and mercy. Amen? The third thing that God has given us, now all of these issues that I'm talking about today is showing us that the issue is within ourselves. This is what God has shown us today, given us today to let us know that the issue, the spiritual problem, the ones we talk about today is the issue that within ourselves, we examine ourselves. And the third one is what we lack. And you can get your pen and pencil and be able to write these scriptures down, because I'm probably not going to elaborate on each one of them, but I'm going to just tell you the scripture and what the Bible talking about each topic that I give you about what we lack. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. There are many teachings and denominational doctrines that are spread around the world, but we must know what the Bible says. We got to obey it because it's the truth. It is our roadmap throughout this life. We lack knowledge. We have to read our word. We got to know, because you have the enemy out there, people telling you all kinds of things, that if you don't know truth, You struggle to believe in anything. That's why it's important that we get understanding, that lack of knowledge. That it better we get our understanding of that. We have to get knowledge. We have to get it. We can't be having a lack of that, because the Bible, anything in the Bible, all 66 books, would give us what we need in every area of our lives. And the next one is a lack of understanding. That's Proverbs 4:7. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and by all you're getting, get understanding. The next one is a lack of nourishment. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. You know, as we become Christian, we have to stand to our word. We have to eat this word. We have to drink this word. We have to breathe this word, which is the word of God. It will help us grow and become mature in the things of God, so we will be able to be adults in God and eat the meat that we ever be able to feed the other newborn and new babies in Christ. One another one is the lack of balance. Proverbs 16:11 say, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his words. We have to have a balanced lifestyle. You know, we can't just be so much Jesus on this earth for 33 years. And I tell you what, the whole time he was there, he had balance in every area of his life to be done. That he needed to have a healthy life to do what God called him to do. And then we can have a lack of commitment. Luke 9:62 say, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand into the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, we have to, once we put our hand here, we become Christian, we got to look forward. We got to just do what God called us to do. And number 6 say, a lack of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 15:16 say, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. And number 7, one of them say, what we fight. We have to know that, like Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our brothers and our sisters, not our enemies. We got to know that Satan have all kind of demonic spirits, the imps that we are fighting against. And that's a whole other teaching, but if you get these scriptures that I'm reading and write them down, you have time to go back to them. And the last one is what we must accept. What we must accept. We know that we will have problems. We will have challenges in our lives. No matter how much we love God, it's just part of life. But we know as long as we got God with us and Jesus in us, we have the problem solved. He promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. And what we must accept, now we have identified, you know, some of the causes of the spiritual problems. These are just some of the things that I gave you. And it's more in depth to each one, but because of the time, I didn't get into it. I just gave you like a little surface part of it, just the icing part of it. But you could go back into those scriptures, and God will give it to you. You can read your word, and the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you. But, you know, but you can decide, you know, from what I just told you, what Dr. McCoy had told you, and which direction of counseling you should take based on the information we gave you about spiritual problems. But we should know that it's not always easy to accept and to yield, you know, what God permits and what he allows us to go through. But at times, he will give us the strength, he will give us the courage, and he will give us the hope to obey and just to receive that he's given us, just to be strengthened and trust him. Because you really don't have any issues, any problems, if you got Jesus. Because the words that we have, Jesus with us, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, because you don't have any problem. The issue is in you. Just like the word issue, the issue is in you. Is you going to believe God? Is you going to trust God? Is you going to just hold fast until your change comes? God bless you. I pray, and I know it did. Everything that you heard today, use it upon your life. Use it in the will of God, and God will bless you. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Normale. We thank God, because I know that you had to be blessed. I knew that you was able to get your pencil or your paper and take notes as to the things that Dr. Normale and I was giving you on today, because it is vital for our existence. It is vital that we know more about the works of the enemy and how the enemy will come in and try to destroy you inside of the church if you allow them to do. If you will be weakened like the parents of these four children were. They started out strong. They were committed. They were in Bible school, and they were taught many things as they went to Bible school. But yet, because sometimes of things that are in our lives, sometimes because we let things affect us more than they should, nothing should come in the place of God, be it our job and most of all our children or things that have God put in our life, we should not let them separate us from the love of God. And I just want to just briefly to let you know, even as we began just touching a little bit about the effects of spiritual problems, our attitude of pride often leads to more pride. And I believe that Dr. Normiel, as she was speaking to you on today, and she brought up one of the first things that God hates, and that is that proud look. Now, you can just, if you didn't get it when she asked you to jot it down, you can look at Proverbs, the 6th chapter, 16 through the 19th verse. And some of these things, they are creeping into the body of Christ. So therefore, as being a believer, you need to know how to protect yourself, and you need to protect yourself with the Word of God. Now, there are 6 things that the Word of God tells us that He hates. We're still talking about effects of spiritual problems. They are a proud lip, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among his brethren. So here we see that this can cause spiritual problems, and this can affect you as being a believer, and it can affect a non-believer of them not coming into the body of Christ when believers don't obey God's word, when believers don't have the word of God seated on the inside of them. So it will cause us to have that attitude of pride. And then it will stimulate, sin. There's another thing, because all unrighteousness is sin. If you want to define it, everything that's not right, everything that's not right according to God's word, all unrighteousness is sin. And then more sin, the more you sin, the more the enemy wants you to sin. And then she talked about even legalism. And legalism, it also it can be excessive, use of the law of God. And it can in order of, in order to achieve solution and maintain, you would use salvation, a good word. And she talked about those good words as well. You can do a lot of good works, but yet you can die and go to hell. You'll be lost. So we want to stimulate you today. We want you to know some of the effects of spiritual problems. And then we want to talk about things that sometimes we all get hung up that you're saying you are self-sufficient. You know, when you think you could do, you got it, I can handle it, I don't need your help. You know, you can get hung up in pride that, you know, I'm going to do it. You know, I don't think you know what you're doing. I don't want you to do it. I don't want you to be a part of the group. I don't want you to be a part of whatever we're about to do, whether or not it's a big company affair, whatever it may be. Or it can be in a home where you're so sufficient that you don't need anybody else. Or then you can be one that distort things. You know, you may be one that has a distorted. You know, we have to watch this. We have to watch it, that we are not so distorted in our value. You know, God gave us a way in order to live, and we ought to have certain values that we live by, not the way that the carnal man lives, not the way that the person that's not saved lives, but we ought to live according to God's values. And because when we begin to look at God's values is going to cause us to be progressive and cause us to do those things that are right and those things that are not evil. You know, when we get off course, you know, people do get off course, and they get off course when they're not in the Word of God. When we talk about distorted value, we're talking about just like, for instance, what happened many months ago, when we talked about sex abuse, and we talk about the scandal when it was at one of the colleges, it was a sickening thing when we found out that the, you know, professors, the coaches per se, what some things was going on and how people withheld information. So therefore, when they thought that, you know, we'll cover this over, we'll do this and that, and the value system will tell you, God's value system will tell you, no, I'm not going along with the crowd. This is something that's evil, this is wicked, and therefore, this is not a part of me. I have no part of it. I can't tell you what's right. I'm not going to help you to go into a way that are not a part of what God has established in me. So therefore, if you have values, you know, you ought to have self-worth. You ought to have some merit about your life. You ought to know that this thing is important. And when we start talking about certain things, such as our children, such as the children that's in school, you know, you ought to have something about on the inside of you that will make you not distort the values of God, whether you're a teacher. You know, you're not going to be one that a liar because you are a teacher, so you ought to not be lying to your students. And so you ought to not to not shed innocent blood when you're not in school. You ought not to do things. You ought not to be false witnesses. So many things that we can talk about today that will cause us to get off the course. But it's so many things that as Christians, we as Christian counselors, you know, we can walk you through things. Your preacher, the pastor, your leader in your church will be able to walk you through all of this. You know, sometimes people get selfish in their way. You know, it's me, myself, and nobody else. Well, this is not the way that God wants us to be. We have to know God through his word. If we're selfish, we have to know that this is not of God because God wasn't selfish. Remember the word of God tell us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So here we see that we cannot let these things keep us from affect our lives and the cause of a spiritual downgrade. But we're going to continue with this on next week. But I want you to just get ready because we're getting ready to pray. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done on today. We thank you, God, for walking us through the Word of God, for walking us, God, through the areas on the cause and the effect of spiritual problems. We thank you to God for allowing us to come and to speak, Father, to the many, God, that are listening to our radio audience, whether they're in Jacksonville, whether they're in Texas or Carolina or Washington, D.C., God, wherever the broadcast is broadcast. We thank you to God for being able, God, for those people to hear as we speak your word, God, unto them, as we give them clarity on spiritual problems. Lord, we ask thee even now, God, to have your way in their lives. God, call them not to be the same, but cause your word, God, to be manifested in them. day and night, night and day, calls them God. Because of this word, because of this broadcast, they will want to read your word, that they will want to study your word, God, that they to be in right relationship with you. And Father, even as I pray, God, if there's any that's not saved, God, if they don't know you as Lord and Savior, if they don't know you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if they don't know you as the Alpha and Omega, which is the beginning and the end, I pray, God, that they would give their lives to you. God, you said, God, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. Your word says that we shall be saved. So, Lord, we proclaim today, God, everywhere, God, everywhere the sound of our voices have gone out today, we pray, God, that your voice, that inner spirit on the inside, God, will cause them to yield, cause them to God to say yes to your will and yes to your way. And Lord God, we pray, God, even now that you cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, and we praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You have been listening to the Crossroad Broadcast. We would like to thank Dr. June Normill, who is a professional a Christian counselor, as well as myself. We want to invite you to come back on next Monday. And also, we would like to let you know, tonight at 9:30 here in Jacksonville, Florida, if you're listening for this broadcast here in Jacksonville, Florida, we would like to invite you to tune in on Channel 99 for the television broadcast. We'll call The New Beginning, and we want you to listen as the Lord allowed the host, which is myself, to be on that broadcast, and we would love for you to join in with Dr. Joyce Bynes and myself at that time. It is at 9:30, Channel 99. But until then, may the richest blessing of God be with you. May his faith, your faith be built up today. And may you be ever so blessed of the Lord. God bless and keep you is our prayer.